Hello and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. My name is Zoe. Lizzie can't join us. She's busy with school stuff, but I'm joined by the amazing Tom Engelberger, who I'm really excited to work with, or
Hi,
to podcast
everybody.
with. Yes. So he is the author of the Origami Yoda series, also The Mighty Chewbacca in the Forest of Fear, and some short stories like Bane's Story and the Clone Wars Stories of Light and Dark, as well as Wills and The Wills Strike Back from the From a Certain Point of View. Books. So super excited. I read the entire Origami Yoda series when I was coming out when I was younger. I actually met you at a, I'm not sure if you remember, it was in PA, I forget where,
It
like
was
years
where?
ago. It was somewhere in Pennsylvania. I can't remember exactly where.
Wow.
I trooped as a Jawa. My sister and I were both trooped as
Oh, you,
Jawa.
totally. You and I remember. Yes, that was
Yes.
the Lyttas Festival.
Yes, Lyttas, that's exactly where it was. Yes,
Yes,
so
and
I
you were a
have,
Jawa. Yes, you were
and I
Jawa, and
have,
your father is in the 501st. Is that
yes,
right?
he's a stormtrooper. We were both Jawas. I'm a bit too tall for a Jawa now, but you gave us these.
Whoa, hold those up.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold all of
You guys are VIPs because I don't give that stuff. I'm serious. I don't give those to very many people. You guys must have been
We were
jumping
very
around on
excited,
little
and
Jawas there
obviously.
or
We
something.
kept them safe. We still have them. They're in their
That is
little
amazing.
sleeves.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think we have a Darth paper, I think, is also signed, but I just have Yoda with me here. But yeah, so I was super excited that to get to talk to you because I'm like, oh my, I think I might have been like 8 or 9. I was pretty young. So
Wow.
this is cool. I'm 21 now, so cool. Blast of the past.
Man, it's really weird to think that the people that read my books are grown-ups now. It's very strange.
But you know, I was just recently I was an RA last year in college, and I was showing my friends one day we were sitting around the desk board, and I was like, "You ever played like Paper Wars?" And we like drew out on the circles and flicked the pencils. I was like, I
No
just remembered
way.
how to play. Yeah, I remembered. It's a fun game.
That, see, I played that game when I was a kid, but
Yeah.
we didn't have the Star Wars theme back then. We were just doing obstacle courses and stuff. So I just fudged that a little bit so that I could fit it into a Star Wars book by.
Well, I remembered it. I played it. I would play it with my friends in school when I was reading the books, and I obviously played it recently. So stuck with one of the things that sticks with you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That just makes me so happy to know that
Yeah.
somebody remembered that and took it to college with them.
Yes.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, so my first question I have for you is, probably a question you've answered before, but I always like to ask. So what really connected you to Star Wars in the first place? And then obviously, how's that manifested in your writing? Not necessarily just Origami Yoda, which is obviously Star Wars influence, but like anything you feel like you've been impacted by Star Wars with.
Okay, so I'm pretty old, and I saw Star Wars in the theater when I was 6 years old, and I didn't catch it all the first time. I was pretty confused the first time I saw it, but then I got to see it two more times while it was still in theaters, and I quickly realized it was the greatest thing ever, and I started collecting action figures. C-3PO was my first action figure. And so we didn't have a way to watch it again. It was gone. I mean, it wasn't in the theaters. We didn't have VCRs. It was just gone. So the toys and the Star Wars cards, that was a big part of just keeping it alive in our heads. And then I got this thing. It's a cassette tape. The story of Star Wars is boiled down to 1 hour so it could fit on a cassette tape. It's available on YouTube. You can listen to it. It's absolutely the greatest thing ever. It's maybe even better than the movie. It's absolutely wonderful. I love it so much. And that to me became Star Wars. And so that hour's worth of Star Wars, that became like central Star Wars to me. And then the rest of the movie, I didn't see again for years and years and years before I got a chance to see the rest of it. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that stuff, the stuff that didn't make it onto the tape. And so I just loved it forever. And it was very natural for me to, I kept doing it. I made Star Wars cartoons and stuff like that. And I made an Origami Yoda because people were making them online and I wanted to make one too. And then it just became very natural to write a book about it. And it just is so much of it's in my head that it's just a very natural, it's so natural for me. I always tell kids, think about somebody that writes a book about like the Civil War. They have to do all this research about the Civil War. I don't have to do any research about Star Wars. It's all up here. I know all about it. Although that's not exactly true. I've got tons of like character encyclopedias and stuff for when
good old Wikipedia.
Because I don't know everything. Oh, Wikipedia is a lifesaver. Mm-hmm. I go there all the time. All the time. Yes.
That's super cool. I didn't even know. I just wrote it down because now I want to see that cassette tape. You said it's on YouTube. So I wrote that down so I could look that up later. I didn't know that was a thing. That sounds super cool. So you wrote the Origami Yoda books. There are, I can remember, is it seven?
Seven. There's seven Origami Yoda books.
That's what I thought. There's seven. And so one. Obviously, yes.
You probably had the blackboard covers. Probably.
I do. I have the black and, ones.
Then they switched them to whiteboard covers, which actually makes more sense because more kids have whiteboards in their classroom these days. Anyway.
Yeah, I still have the, I don't know if they're all blackboard, but I definitely know because I actually, when I was doing some like research for my notes and stuff, all the pictures coming up, some of them were white and I was like, that's not what my book looks like. That makes sense. So you wrote seven of those books and obviously some of your own original work as well, but you've also written, I mentioned earlier, The Mighty Chewbacca in the Forest of Fear, which is another book I read and I really enjoyed.
Oh, you read it? Oh, good.
I have. There's. I wrote a review of it on the website. Yes, there it is.
Oh, man. I'm so proud of this book. I had so much fun with it, and I love the illustrations. Because, as you know, I illustrated Origami Yoda, so the illustrations are terrible. And then this book comes out, and this guy takes my words, and he makes... There's a Chewbacca totally sworn by Tuca cats. I mean, I couldn't draw that in a million years. So it's awesome to write something like about Star Wars and then see it become like real looking Star Wars instead of just my bad drawings. That was really exciting. That was really exciting.
That's awesome. And I love that book. You've also written some short stories I mentioned earlier. So what was that? What's like the shift kind of moving from writing, you know, Origami Yoda, which is, you know, really in our world, but very Star Wars influenced, to like in-universe Star Wars stories?
Okay, so the one you didn't mention here is my novelization of Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
That was the first time I ever wrote real in-universe Star Wars. But that was pretty straightforward because I had an exact script to work off of. And I had... the movie and everything. And I have a book they came out with a few years ago that had stills from like every scene. George Lucas sat down and watched the movie. And every time there was something up on the screen that he thought looked really good, he was like, now, now, now. And so they took all the nows and they made a whole book out of that. So I went through, I had that whole book. That was my Bible along with the script as I wrote this. So that was like training wheels because I got to imagine a couple of scenes in here. Like there's a scene where Mon Mothma talks to Princess Leia that I've always been really proud of. I made that up, but most of the book I didn't ever make up. But then when this came along, it was all made up by me. And that was wild. That was really crazy. The funny thing though is everything you make up, you have to get approved. And so that's really crazy because you're like, oh, I've got the best idea. Oh my gosh, this is going to be great. And then they're like, no, 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 no way. You can't do that. No. And so it's very interesting. It's very interesting working with the story group and making sure that what you write is not going to conflict with something else or trap somebody else. You know, if you write that such and such happens to Mon Mothma, then when they go to make, remember how Mon Mothma showed up in was it Andor? Yeah, she's an Andor.
She's an Andor and Rebels, I think.
Yeah, like what if I had written something that had then trapped them and they were like, oh no, now we can't do that because Engelberger ruined it. You know,
You
so
don't want to be that guy.
they have to be careful of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, working with the story group. Yes, that's an interesting angle. And also, like you said, getting to see it realized in like the illustration, for example, in the Mighty Chewbacca. And so sort of related to that question, because you've also written for Marvel as well. So just in general, how is writing like more like original stories, like you said, like 100% from your own brain, compared to working, you know, in a franchise like Star Wars or Marvel?
Yeah, I tell people it's like going to when you're a kid and you've got your own toys and stuff, and sometimes you got some cool action figure stuff, but you get a little bored of them. And then you go over to your friend's house and they've got different toys, and you're like, can't wait to start messing around with their toys. And that's what it's like. It's like all of a sudden somebody's like, oh, look, I've got all the Star Wars action figures ever. And you can play, and you get to play with them. And you're like, wow, this is fantastic. And then you grab one of them. They're like, whoa, 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 don't touch that one. That's my favorite. You can't touch that one.
Mm-hmm. So like with collector's Marvel, edition.
With Marvel, with Rocket and Groot, my only job basically was to not kill Rocket and Groot. That was almost the only thing they told me. It was like, whatever needs to happen, happens. But at the end of your book, they need to be ready to return for the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So don't kill them, or, you know, Rocket can't lose his tail or whatever. So that was really freewheeling with just one rule. But Star Wars has a lot of rules and a lot of, I mean, there's so much history. There's so much, so that it can be a real challenge. And that's what's exciting. That's what's fun about it, actually, is this new challenge. Sometimes as an author, you know, I've got this book, The Two-Headed Chicken. The Two-Headed Chicken, can do anything it wants to do. There's no limits or whatever. And that's fun to write, but it's also fun to write something that is limited and has these rules. And for you to try to work it out like a puzzle, it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, with Star Wars, you've got a built-in audience. And so, you know, with this, I knew people were going to dig seeing Yoda. But of course the fear is if you do something they don't like with Yoda, then it goes the wrong way. But luckily everybody was okay with me phoning Yoda, just about. I heard from at least one kid who was very upset about Origami.
Oh no. Can you say what he was upset about? Or
he was like, I don't hate you, I just hate your books. Star Wars isn't for joking around with. There shouldn't be any paper-wide Yodas, all that kind of stuff. He was very upset. And I kind of feel the same way. I don't like Star Wars. I don't like jokes that are at the expense of Star Wars. I like in-universe Star Wars humor. That's what I like. So even though I wrote all these silly jokes and stuff, I think that readers know that I take Star Wars very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how do you think, you know, with those books and even in your in-universe work, like how do you think you try and balance that, like being like light and like having a fun adventure while also like recognizing the gravity, for lack of a better word, of this franchise and what it means to people?
Yeah, it is. It's like this huge honor. The first time when I got the first phone call, I was sitting down on my porch and I got a phone call that was like, do you want to write Star Wars? And I mean, it was just beyond anything that I ever would have imagined. It was incredible. And to get to do it is a dream come true. And you finish a book and you're just like, oh man, when are they going to let me play with the toys again? I can't wait. And the first time, I think, the first trailer for Rise of Skywalker, we saw Babu Frick, the little guy, the little mechanic. I like wrote to Lucasfilm that day. And I was like, If you need a Babu Frick book, I'm available to write the Babu Frick book.
I would love a Babu Frick book. I'll sign that petition for a Babu Frick book. I would love that. Well, that's sort of actually very related to another question I had, which was, are there any Star Wars characters that you haven't gotten the chance to write about that you would like to?
Oh, you know, that is a really interesting question. I love Ahsoka. She may be my favorite Star Wars character, which is surprising because for a long time, I never thought anyone that wasn't in the first three movies could ever be my favorite Star Wars character. But Ahsoka has grown on me so much and I love her and I'm fascinated and I can't wait to see what happens with her story. But I wouldn't want to write her story. It's bigger than me. I couldn't handle that. I want to be the spectator for her story. I'm really enjoying it. It would be awesome if I could. I got to write a certain amount of Wicket in here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I've actually got my origami Wicket here. Oh. I got to write a certain amount of Wicket in here.
I made a few of those.
Oh,
I
you did?
Follow the instructions. I don't have any. They're at my other desk, but I don't have any with me. But I made a Jawa one too. I was like, I could turn this into a Jawa. I was like, cut the ears off.
Yeah, if they ever want Wicket or Wicket meets Babu Frick, I'm all over that. Whatever it needs to be, I'm ready.
That would be. I would love Wicket. Wicket meets Babu. Those would be some very good books. So something sort of related. So there have been two From a Certain Point of View books, which for anyone who doesn't know, they're books that take 40 different authors writing 40 different stories, or I think 40 plus authors because some were co-written. 40 plus authors with 40 different stories for each movie, from taking random snapshots from the movie. So some might be the perspective of,
right, you can
there's
see
one.
All the names here. It's yes. Pretty wild. It's really wild to be on the same list with some of these other people. It's crazy. It's just absolutely amazing that my name is on the list with these other people.
And they're both amazing books for 40th year anniversaries of both of their movies. And both of you are and one of the authors that has been featured in both and announced for the upcoming one. And both of your A New Hope and your Empire Strikes Back one covered the Wills, who is, you know, mysterious, seemingly a bit all-knowing beings talking to each other at the end of each book. So what drew you to writing about the Wills specifically, and how you chose to write them?
Well, I'll confess something. I don't think I've ever told anybody this. When I first heard about it, I was like, mouse droid. I'll do the mouse droid. I do the mouse droid. And I had a story for the mouse droid, man. I was gonna rock the mouse droid story. And they were like, dude, you're too late. Mouse droid's taken. So mouse droid was taken? Come on.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But that's what it was like. It was like, what character would you want to see things from? And I think at that point I had already written this book. And in this book, I do quite a bit of that. Like I try to see a scene from different characters' points of view. And so I had done a lot of different characters and stuff. And I thought, you know what? I'll just go with the silliest thing I can think of. And the silliest thing would be the Wills. And the whole thing is, if you don't know, if I'm sure your readers know, but just, or your listeners know, but if anybody out there doesn't know, every once in a while, you will open up a Star Wars book and it'll be like, from the Journal of the Wills. And it was like, George Lucas had this idea for this giant framing device that all the Star Wars we know is from the Journal of the Wills, but he never says what the Wills are or anything. And my version of the Wills is definitely not canon. Do not think for a minute mine's canon. I'm not sure that the Wills, I don't even know. I don't know what's in George's mind, but what's in my mind was that these guys are Star Wars fans too. But they're not fans of the movies. They're fans of the actual people and the actual droids and the actual Wookiees, because that's their galaxy. Actually, I have to take that back. They don't live in that galaxy. To them, the Star Wars galaxy is far, far away. So I take that back. But anyway, they're fans of the Star Wars. They thought Luke Skywalker was awesome. And so I was like, what it would be like if one of these guys, or I don't know, one of these Wills had the job. I'm the one that has to start the thing off by saying, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, it was a dark time for the rebellion, all that stuff. And then it was like, wait a minute, but what if there's another Will who's like, wait a minute, you can't start. And because, and so I tried to throw in real, all the real stuff that fans talk about, you know, like some fans are like, to me, Darth Maul is dead and he can't come back to life as half of Darth Maul. And other people are like, no, Darth Maul comes back. He's better as a spider droid than he was the first time. So, and you have these backs and forth. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if the Wills were having the same kind of arguments that fans have? Arguments that come out of love, love for Star Wars. And so I just let him have this big argument. And somehow or another, I got away with it.
I remember when I read the A New Hope one, I just really, you know, especially because some of the stories in that book are just heartbreaking, just so sad. You know, it's a big roller coaster of emotions, that book. And we get to the end and it was just like this, like, nice, like almost like a meta joke that I just really appreciated and was just laughing at. And then you got to do it again for The Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire Strikes Back one, I kind of think it went too far. I think it must have gone too far.
Really?
But it was also a lot of fun to do. It was a lot of fun to do. oh, man. Yeah, and so, like, I am going to be in the Return of the Jedi book. I can't say what character it is yet. I will say it's not still not the mouse droid. Someday maybe I'll get to tell the mouse droid story. And I'm guessing that he gets off the Death Star and hooks up with Babu Frick. Yeah. And somehow they save Wicket. I don't know how it's all going to work. But I'll figure it out if they want me to.
I think Babu could, like, soup up the mouse droid, right? And kind of ride him around.
He rides it. He's riding around on the mouse droid.
Has little handlebars on it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, yes, you have been announced to be in the Return of the Jedi one, which I'm very excited for. That was when I was, like, reading Empire Strikes Back when I was like, this is so good. I'm so excited for Jedi with all the Ewoks and all the Jabba's Palace and everything. Super, super exciting stuff. I did want to ask a question just because I skipped over it a little bit about Bane's story in the Clone Wars stories of Light and Dark, which was another really good collection of short stories that were interesting. And again, from a lot of different perspectives. Yes, there it is. In different, slightly different times, some of them.
I thought it would fall open to my story. I guess not. There's a very nice drawing of Cad Bane to go with my story.
Yes, the art in that book is beautiful.
Don't you love Cad Bane?
Yes. I just wanted to ask, you know, like how, like why, basically why Bane? What?
Oh, well, man, he's awesome. I love Cad Bane, and that that whole sequence was fantastic. So mm-hmm. if your listeners know their Clone Wars, you'll remember that there was a time when Obi-Wan faked his own death so that he could pose as a bad guy and join Cad Bane's gang that was going to kidnap the Emperor. And so you get all this close-up stuff between, like, Cad Bane and Count Dooku is in it, and a bunch of criminals and bounty hunters are in it. And it's such a cool story. And I actually think it's a really important story because I think it's when if you go back through it, I think Anakin really loses a lot of faith in the Jedi and in believing, and he can't even believe in Obi-Wan because Obi-Wan's lied to him. It's an amazing story, but I didn't tell any of that part. I told it from the bad guy's point of view. Because Cad Bane is such a spaghetti Western kind of character, I thought, well, I'll watch some spaghetti Westerns, I'll read a Zane Grey novel, and then I'll tell this thing from Cad Bane's point of view. And if only I could have done the voice. I kept making myself sick trying to do the voice so I could make sure it sounded right. And I could never figure out how to do his voice. But I wanted it to tell it from his point of view, the whole, you know, here's our thing. And then at the end, of course, when he finds out that Obi-Wan has been double-crossing him the whole time, he's furious. And that gets like 2 seconds in the show because the show has a lot of ground to cover. But I wanted to give it some, you know, a little bit more space and let us find out just how mad Cad Bane really was.
Yeah, and that's something I think that's super cool about, you know, a lot of these novelizations, because you also did, like you were talking about, the Return of the Jedi novelization and like expanding on little moments, adding things to what we see on screen. So what's it like to be essentially like almost adapting a story from screen, like with parts of Bane's story of Return of the Jedi versus like, you know, Mighty Chewbacca, where, you know, it's all from your head? Like, how does that compare?
Yeah, sometimes it gets unbelievably difficult. Like, if you think about Return of the Jedi, and this isn't like highfalutin author philosophy. This is just like the nitty gritty nuts and bolts of getting the job done. You think about when Lando's flying the Millennium Falcon into the Death Star. If you go back and watch that, it's like 2 seconds of Millennium Falcon. Then we're up with the Emperor and Luke. Then we're down with Wicket and the Ewoks. And then we're with Han and Leia at the bunker. And then we're back with back up in the Falcon flying in again. And then R2 and C-3PO are like complaining about walking through the forest. And it's like 500 different things. And if you tried to tell that as a story with like one paragraph about each thing, people would lose their minds. They would not enjoy reading that. So it works as a movie, but it doesn't work as text. So I tried to make it all work, and it was so difficult. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, trying to piece, like take it all apart, put it back together differently, like taking apart a Lego set and making three different things out of it.
Yeah.
It was so difficult. Oh my gosh, it was so hard. But it was also like the greatest job I've ever had. If they would call me up tomorrow to do another one, I would do it. It was so much fun. Just like, well, what am I going to do today? And it would be like, well, I'm going to get Luke through the, Luke's going to jump on a speeder bike and start racing through the forest. That was so much fun to write. It was so great. Oh, man, you're making me nostalgic for the days when I got to write that. Maybe I'll call them up and see if they need me.
I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, there's plenty of stuff to adapt, you know. It doesn't have to be movies. You know, we have Mando and Andor and all sorts of things. Yeah, that's really interesting. I never really considered the angle of just pacing and you know, so comparing. Because whenever I thought of like movie versus book, I always think of like in a book, you can like hear a character's thoughts a bit better, where in a movie, you don't always do that. Like that was always what came to mind in my head. And I never considered like how you chop things up differently.
Yeah, it's wild. And it's so much fun. It's also fun getting to do something like The Mighty Chewbacca, where I had a lot of rules, but I didn't have the script to follow. And I got to just sit down and think, like, what's my dream? What do I want to see happen? And I started drawing a map. And I was like, what can I put on this map that would be awesome? And I had this idea for this giant, like, fish kind of thing that's swimming in the dark side of the Force, basically. There's like this planet, and the inside of the planet is just filled with the dark side. And this creature sort of, there's a crack in the planet where the dark side comes out, and this creature is just sort of flopping around in there, grabbing everything it can. It's just pure greed. And I was like, I thought that would be a lot of fun to write. So I got to do it. I was like, can I do this? Yeah, you can do that. So let me do that.
Yeah, that
was. And then I was like, I love Chewbacca. He's great. And then I got to invent my own character, Maeve. And then I was like, who else is fun? Oh, yeah. K2SO is the most fun character. And then it was like, wait a minute. How awesome is it going to be for him and Chewbacca to like butt heads and bump into each other? How are they going to get along? And then I was like, you know what else I like? Tuca cats. I'll throw a bunch of Tuca cats into the story. It's just, oh man, it's so many fun toys to play with. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's super cool. And that's something you were talking about, like, you know, your dark side creature and the planet. And that was something I loved about that book. There's a lot of things, but I love like this planet that they were on and how like weird and forcey it was while having, you know, you have this like very force heavy setting. And you don't, you have Chewbacca and K2SO characters that are not like force sensitive. And like that juxtaposition was something I really enjoyed about that book and finding that like weird little balance.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that. I realized I got to tell my toy story. What would yours be if you got the call tomorrow to do a book? Which and you
Oh
could grab any characters that are
man.
alive at the same time and throw them into adventure. Who would you pick?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm also Ahsoka is also my favorite character. But I'm also a big fan of like Sabine and the whole Rebels crew. But I feel like just saying, oh, I'll just do another story with the Rebels crew. You know, they hang out together all the time. You want to get it a little exciting. I think a story with, I think, oh, shoot, I just had it. I think, I would say, this is a hard question. There's so many
I should have
options.
given you. You gave me the questions ahead of time. I should have given you this question ahead of
Oh
time.
no, that's okay. I got it's fun to think about. I really enjoy what's his name? Quinlan Vos. I think he's a pretty fun character.
Wait, which one is he? Is he the bad guy from Solo?
He is a Jedi. No, that's Dryden Vos, but good connection. It's a very similar name. Quinlan Vos is a Jedi. He's the one, he has like dreadlocks and he has like a yellow stripe across his face. He's in like one episode of the Clone Wars and a book.
Yes.
That's like his canon. But I think he's like the chill, cool, like uncle Jedi. And so I think like his episode in the Clone Wars pairs him with Obi-Wan, who is not always the chill, cool uncle Jedi. And so I think anything pairing Quinlan Vos with a character like a Mace Windu, just like having those clashing personalities would be super fun. And you know, maybe throw some Andalans in there too for
Throw,
you know.
wait, throw more than one Enzo in there? Is that what you said?
I mean, there was like three in The Mandalorian. We can have a whole little family of Andalans. Little Babu Frick family.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're talking about the Babu Frick family. Yes.
Yes. I
Yes. Boy, you know your Star Wars, man. Woo!
read a
Wow, I'm glad
lot.
this is not trivia because.
I am good with some Star Wars trivia. I
Man, hey, you
know.
know what the hardest Star Wars trivia question I ever heard was? So when the rebels get in their X-wings and they fly to fight the Death Star, they leave Yavin and they go to the Death Star, but they have to go through something first. What do they go through?
Oh.
And I did not get this question right, by the way. Somebody else did.
Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Okay.
There's no asteroid field, is there?
No, there's
Not
this
like anything like
brief
that.
moment where there's like static on the radio and somebody goes, "We're passing through the magnetic field."
Oh, I would not have, I never would have gotten that.
Me
Wow.
neither, but that is the hardest question I've
That's a
gotten.
tough question.
But what was frustrating about it was hard, but once they said the answer, I was like, "Oh, I should have known
Yeah.
that."
It's one of the things I feel like it's always because, you know, a lot of times trivia, they'll pull like a detail from like, oh, this was in like a visual guide, like little line. It's like, I didn't like page through every single visual guide. But when it's like something that was actually in the movie, I'm like, oh, I saw that and I just forgot. Oh,
Yeah, it
that was a
probably
very
wasn't
good
on my cassette tape, so that may be why I
yeah,
don't know it.
probably not. They've cut that for time. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about Star Wars is that it's so open. So you know, you only ask the question of like, you know, what would your Star Wars toy box be? Like, there's so many options, you know, and it's so cool to see how we span that. I'm very excited to see what you have for us and what everyone else has for us. We have quite the list of authors coming up for Return of the Jedi from a certain
Yeah,
point of view.
it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a real one.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to think of any other questions I have. I'm so grateful for you coming on the show. Do you have any questions, anything?
I was going to ask you to name a character, and then I would see if I had the origami version handy.
Oh.
And you said Ahsoka is also one of your favorites.
Yes.
There's origami Ahsoka.
Oh.
She
Oh,
went
and
through a
that's.
lot of development. She would be a lot better if I could draw.
Oh, I think it
If
looks
I
good,
could
and
draw a
that.
little better, but the origami is solid.
Yeah, no, that's
The
very good, and that's
drawing is just terrible.
the Siege of Mandalore version, which is what I'm working on for a costume right now.
Are you
That's
really?
cool. Yes, hopefully
Oh, awesome.
for celebration next week. It's like down to the wire, but
Man. Wait, are you going to Celebration Europe?
yes, yeah,
No way.
I get to be on the podcast stage. I'm very lucky. Got the passes from that. I didn't. We just found out for the panel lottery, did not get into the Ahsoka panel, sadly.
Oh
But
man.
I got into the Bad Batch, which I'm looking forward to because that's a very fun show.
Oh man, is the Bad Batch awesome right now or what?
It's so awesome. I'm so excited for the finale. I can't
Yeah.
wait.
Yeah.
Do you have any Bad
Yeah, we're
Batch
just like
origami?
12 hours away.
Yes. Oh wow, we are. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. any Bad Batch origami by any chance? Any of those characters?
I don't think I do have any Bad Batch origami. Boy, that's an oversight. I do have Mandalorian. I have Mandalorian
Oh, and he's so shiny.
and Baby
He's
Yoda.
got little
Yes,
Grogu.
it's Beskar foil.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Do you have anything, obviously, Return of the Jedi from a certain point of view is coming up? Any other books or projects you might have that you
Oh,
want to share?
nah, people, Dad. I got something better. I got something better. This is to sign off with. I've got the real Origami Yoda. This is the
The
guy you know him
original.
from the cover of the book.
Is this the picture of the actual,
Yes,
like,
does it line up
it's
right?
I know I'm not sure if I can line it up quite.
Yeah, I
I
can
don't
line up.
know if there's like a recreation or for the book or that's the original on
This
the
is the original
cover thing.
Yoda. You'll notice he was not green. I made him with gray paper. And so they made him green and they made his lightsaber real. But other than that, it's the real guy.
That is so cool. The original. So, did you make him? You made him before writing the book?
This guy I made after writing the book. I made a
Okay.
very simple one, kind of like this Yoda,
Oh,
before.
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's so cool. Yeah,
So, yeah.
I know you have a website, that I meant to put.
OrigamiYoda.com. And if you go
Yes.
there, you can see thousands of pieces of origami that kids have made and sent in to me.
Yeah, I saw a really cute like Judy Hopps one from Zootopia is on the front of
Yes.
the
Yes. It goes way beyond Star Wars. We have lots
website right
of characters, and one of our best super folders is a Pixar fan, so we've got some good Pixar
now.
origami.
Yeah. So I'm gonna check that out. For me, so like I mentioned, I'm Star Wars Geek Girl will be on the podcast stage in Europe on Saturday, April 8th at 1 p.m. London time. The different times depending on where you are. I think we're going to try and live stream it, but taking technology across the pond, we'll see how that goes. Yeah, and then StarWarsGeekGirl.com is our website. Twitter and Instagram are at SWGeekGirl, and Facebook page is Star Wars Geek Girl. Do you have any social media to plug, or mostly just the
Yeah, if you
website?
send people to my website, that is plenty. I am so
Okay.
jealous of you for going to Celebration. Oh,
I'm very
man.
excited.
Oh, wow. I hope you have a great time. I hope you have a great time.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you again for coming on. It was a joy, especially, like I mentioned, like I met you before when I was a Jawa in my Jawa years and got some gifts. So it was very nice to talk to you again. And the fact that you remembered me is very, very sweet. Yeah, so thank you, everyone. He's listening. May the force be with you. Go check out our website and all that kind of stuff. And goodbye. Bye now.